If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, and we're very pleased to be joined by the Free Press reporter and podcaster Eli Lake, a colleague of long standing. Malcolm, you have a question about Eli's work with MIT.
Absolutely. Thank you. And Eli, thanks for coming on. I wanted to talk to you about the recent lawsuit against MIT, one of several against universities, with the trend of university administrators not addressing the issue of hate speech or actions against Jews. I was in Washington last week with representatives of the kids from 20 universities under the sponsorship of Olami, and each one just reported the amazing, disturbing incidents that they personally experienced of anti-Semitism and Jew hatred acts on their campuses directed at them or at the Jewish communities there, and the inaction on the part of every single one of the universities. So how pervasive is this issue, do you feel, and what can be done to hold the universities accountable under Title VI of the Civil Rights Act to protect students from discrimination and harassment?
Well, it's a great question. There are at least 50, I guess you could say, investigations from the Department of Education into university campuses for what has become very clear after October 7th, which is a gross double standard when it comes to enforcing some of the anti-hate speech, anti-discriminatory kind of rules on campus when it comes to anti-Semitism. I have to say that to a certain extent, I come at this a bit conflicted. I am a big believer in free speech, and I think that our culture as a general rule has become far too coddling of people who claim emotional or mental harm. Obviously, I'm a Jew and a proud Jew, and I despise anti-Semitism. But I also think that when you're talking about some of the extreme and radical perspectives that are so prevalent on campus when it comes to Israel, the best antidote to that is to counter the false and malicious speech with good and better speech. That is how I would like to see universities operate. But right now, that's not how universities operate. One can get in trouble for the slightest of microaggressions against favored minority groups. But if you are Jewish and you complain at some pretty outrageous things, such as teaching assistants posting on Twitter lurid theories that the Israeli army harvests the organs of Palestinians, which is a kind of modern version of the medieval blood libels, you get either no action, you get, you know, maybe it's best not to do this. And, you know, the clear kind of message is that, you know, we here at these universities, especially the elite universities, do not consider that Jews have kind of the equal victim status as other groups.
Eli, the university has made this a policy, or it develops into a policy, or it's not talked about. Where did that come from?
Well, in some cases, there really isn't. There are not kind of official in college administration's rules actual protections for religious minorities or various groups based on their ethnic identity. In other cases, though, it's just really a matter. It kind of comes out of the diversity, equity, what's known as DEI. And this has been really a kind of political philosophy that has found a home in bureaucracies at corporations and universities and even elements of the U.S. government, which believes that there are certain kind of groups that deserve special protections, and they kind of code Jewish students as white or part of the oppressor class, and therefore they don't get the same kinds of protections. And if you think about it, you know, who are the people who are most likely to make Jews feel uncomfortable on campus? Well, it's people who are kind of activists on behalf of the Palestinians. Palestinians are kind of seen as one of these groups that deserve these kinds of protections. So the DEI has to sort of balance between what they see as, you know, the rights of one minority that's done pretty well in America and another minority that they seek to protect. I think the DEI as a sort of philosophy is nonsense, and it would be good for universities to sort of abandon it. And I think it's in the interest of Jewish students to be, you know, kind of leading that charge. But as long as there are DEI rules on campus that severely restrict all kinds of speech, like misgendering people and things like that, then it's a scandal that anti-Semitism is not seen as the kind of hate speech that one must be protected from, even though I want to make it very clear, my view is that we should have a pretty wide berth when it comes to speech on college campuses.
Malcolm?
How do we assure transparency when universities are getting billions of dollars from foreign governments, including Qatar and Turkey and China, whatever, and yet they don't report it? Nobody seems to know. The Department of Education doesn't have any files, not on that, not on the anti-Semitism incidents, no records that are clear. How do we get real transparency, protecting free speech at the same time, but enabling us to be able to fight back when you don't have the information, you can't fight?
Well, I mean, first of all, there are a lot of outside groups now that are beginning to do that. There's an extraordinary group of kind of students and graduate students and a couple professors at Columbia that has put together a really impressive database of all kinds of incidents that are like kind of really super detailed, all sourced. The second thing is that you're starting to see far more Department of Education official investigations into this, and that does create a paper trail that you're talking about. So I do think that some of the data is getting out there. And then you have these law firms like the Brandeis Center, Stand With Us has a number of lawyers that have worked on this that are beginning to sort of take up these cases and either pursue it through the courts or pursue it through regulation in the education department. And that is, I think, you know, you're beginning to kind of get some of this accountability. The real accountability, though, to stress it again, is that when you have to do something about bureaucracies that are going to be naturally stacked, not just against Jews, but against like most students and like that are there really to enforce a groupthink and to squelch debate and are not and using that under the pretext of protecting people from the harm that speech does. And I think we have to toughen up in that respect. But again, there's such a glaring double standard at this point. And it gets really bad because we've seen so many incidents on campus where this gets out of hand. So, you know, there might be some complaints where I would say, you know, the best thing to do is to write an op-ed for the student newspaper and counter this nonsense. But then you see incidents where you've got a group of Jewish students who are basically locked in the library at Cooper Union, and there's a real menace in the crowd outside. You see this kind of, this is part of the pressure tactic from that we're not just in the universities right now, that we could see, you know, in August at the Democratic National Convention, which is groups that want to kind of go beyond protest to the point where they are kind of causing these confrontations. We saw it in 2020, Malcolm. If you remember, there were
30 seconds, Eli. 30 seconds.
Sorry. Yeah. Anyway, we saw in 2020 with the George Floyd protest where there would be people sitting outside at cafes and they would be surrounded by people and they'd sort of ask them to say stuff. That kind of stuff, which is not, it's not violence per se, but it's kind of getting closer to that line.
Certainly harassment.
Certainly harassment. Exactly. And that those kind of texts. So in that respect, you know, that creates a horrible environment for Jewish students on campus, particularly now when we see such division over Israel. And they have a right to the protections, although the big root cause of the issue is that we have to get out of the business of treating speech as if it's violence.
Eli Lake, Malcolm Hohnlein, I'm John Beck.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.